Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a degree in English from the University of Detroit. She's the most amazing nonagenarian you will ever meet. She's survived the loss of her fiancé during World War II, has buried two husbands, and has whipped cancer twice. Yet, she's the most graceful, youthful, and charming lady you will ever meet. Her name? Mary Lou Connelly. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Pasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a most amazing lady, Mary Lou Connelly, the greatest nonagenarian you'll ever meet in your life. Mary Lou, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
I had a wonderful childhood, Jack. My parents were wonderful people. They were a happy, happy couple. They were from the Pittsburgh area, German descent. All of their grandparents were from Germany. And my father came to Detroit with the steel corporation, Weirton Steel. And three girls in the family, three sisters. I was the middleman. And we had a very happy, normal childhood. My father was a very substantial business person, very intelligent and bright. He had never gone to college, but he went to business school. And not only was he a good businessman, but a wonderful father, very laid back. I can just see him in his big leather chair every evening, very happy with being at home. And my mother was... Well, mother was indescribable. She was kind of unalloyed joy.
What's the biggest thing, Mary Lou, you learned from Dad? And what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
Well, from Dad, I learned how to be prompt. I went out to his office with him one day in Dearborn, and he stopped for a paper, and the Free Press boy said, "Mr. Bopp, I know it's 8:22 because you're here for your paper." He was very prompt, but very substantial, very kind, very, very kind person. He welcomed everybody. And my mother taught me, well, her big philosophy of life was things work out. And they really did, because mother had a wonderful attitude. She was joyful. She smiling all the time. She had a million friends, and they loved Eva. She's a darling woman, and she gave me happiness.
And she passed at age 104.
104.
So but you're still young, Mother.
Well, she never thought she was old, Jack.
You live next to the O'Haras, and there was this guy, Jack O'Hara, and you met him when he was 6 and you were 5, and you wrote a poem when you got engaged to Jack O'Hara. Mm-hmm. Can you share with us that poem?
Well, I'd be happy to, Jack. I've started out by saying, "When God said love thy neighbor, he said something very fine. In fact, I took him up on it. I'm going to marry mine." So then I went on to say, "First dates were such exciting things, at least they were for others, but ours was quite a different case arranged for by our mothers. To make the matter more ironic, it was also darn platonic. He didn't know I was alive. Of course, Jack was 6 and I was 5. Since Jack with broken leg was quite an added chore, his mother had him stay with us while she moved in next door. Then came a summer spent up north with many more in store, but I was wholly ostracized, a little kid, no more. And while Jack fished and hunted squirrels with Betty and the boys, I spent my time with Marianne and paper dolls and toys. And then I was an in-between and scorned my lowly state. The big kids was my goal, but my credentials didn't rate. High school days, then it began. My Jack became my Superman, most secretly admired of all, my hero of the basketball. Only now, 15 years after, I'll confess with pent-up laughter how I used to slyly sneak to Grandma's room to steal a peek across the drive with dreamy looks to watch him with his nose in books. I wondered if the while he did, his thoughts strayed to a little kid. A knock at the door. Oh, can it be? Jack's come over to visit me. But that's how far presumption gets. He only came to talk to Betts. Right here, my thanks, I vow and swear to Chet for ending that affair. But then it came, oh, lovely fate, you came around to compensate, to terminate my endless wait because Jack asked me for a date. Authentic proof for all to see, an excerpt from my diary. October 21st, 1938, went to the yacht club with Jack O'Hara, had a marvelous time. Others followed, Lambda Sig and Jamar and Big Four, T.O.P., U of D, we used the kitchen door. Jack's first tux and my first formal, first corsage, it's all so normal. Junior night, the DAC, and I liked him, and he liked me. Just 20 yards apart we lived for all those years, but then I chose a school 1,000 miles from Jack and U of M. But I was duly punished for my distant emigration, because then I only saw him on occasional vacation. U of D, I'm home. But you can have him on a bet. My Jack marched off to Iowa, a naval air cadet. But still I kept on seeing him by correspondence course. I got him through pre-flight all right by threatening divorce. Corpus Christi, blood and tears. Then things looked bright and dewy. He didn't just emerge alive, but as a second Louis. That whirlwind courtships such as this, with 15 years to reminisce, must have a climax, we agree, so we're engaged. That's our decree.
And it's called Love Thy Neighbor.
Love Thy Neighbor.
We're with Mary Lou Connelly. When we come back, we'll ask her about December 7th, 1941, a day that changed the world forever. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Mary Lou Connelly, who's an inspiration to everyone she meets. Mary Lou, let's go back to December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. How did you find out?
I was in college at the time, Jack, in New York City. And it was dinner time, and it was announced on the radio. We had no television, of course, then. And, of course, I was in shock like the rest of the nation. I remember Roosevelt saying, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." And all I knew was that I wanted to go home.
December 7th, 1941. A date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
I went home at Christmas time, and everybody was talking about it. All the boys were deciding which branch of the service they wanted to join, and volunteer opportunities for those of us staying home were made available. So I knew I wanted to be home and to be a part of this, and I just wish that my own children could have any kind of a, could experience some of those years. They were so wonderful, so patriotic, everybody pulling together. We were all swelling with pride, and the boys were happy to go. The women were going into the factories because the men were gone, and we were all signed up to volunteer for something. I know that summer after I came home, I volunteered in three different capacities myself. But in the meanwhile, the older people like me now were rolling bandages for the Red Cross. And even the children were doing things. They would make little squares that will be sewn together for blankets for the men overseas. People, young men that we had been having all these happy-go-lucky days with, were taking off for the services, and ended up that Saturday nights were very important to us girls. We all stayed together, and it kept the morale, kept our morale up, and we kept writing to the boys. But I had written a little poem for that that period of my life, which was so important. And I just remember I said that we see the same faces each Saturday night, a Coke or a movie, our weekend delight. We jokingly speak about having a date. Recognize us? We're the ladies who wait. We gather our knitting and all of the news. In any lone widow, we never refuse. In every hen party, we participate. We're lovelorn but loyal, we ladies who wait. Wearing our rings, insignias or wings, we soon settle down and the session begins. We talk about weddings in days past and men, hope chests, the future, and then men again. Tom earned a bronze medal. Jack's squadron sent. Where? Hey, I hear Bill was wounded. We all say a prayer. The Army, the Navy, Marines are the best. That troublesome topic we never let rest. There is no complaining, it's only our fate. Loquacious, though lonely, we ladies who wait. But just wait till it comes, that peace declaration. Just watch us march out of our long hibernation. With joy in our hearts, with love reinstated, thank you, dear Lord, say we ladies who waited.
The ladies who waited. And Jack O'Hara, who enlisted in the Marine Air Corps, went to the South Pacific, pilot, B-22 bomber. He passed. He lost his life in 1943. How did you hear about that, Mary Lou?
I was working at the local ration board. I was helping out there. It was one of my jobs. And I went home. I walked home from work and went to my home and rang the doorbell. Mother answered, not with her usual smile, but with a big hug. And it was so quiet, I couldn't figure out what was wrong, because my sister was living there with her two-year-old. Her husband was in the Army Air Corps in Italy. So I said, Mother, where's Chatty? It's so quiet. And she put her arm around me and she said, well, she told me about Jack. So we went next door. We were still next door neighbors and hugged all of the O'Haras. And that was a hard thing to learn.
And then there was another man, Frank Murphy, who was in the Marine Corps. And he knew Jack O'Hara. And he heard of his death. And he wrote you a sympathy letter. Changed your life. You married him. You bore him five children, four sons and a daughter. You had 40 great years with us. Tell us about Frank Murphy.
Frank Murphy was a really, truly wonderful man. He had a marvelous sense of humor. He was substantial, a gentleman, a real gentleman. He was an only child, but totally unspoiled. And we just, he asked me for a date, and I couldn't go. I was already busy. And so he called the second time, and I told a little white lie because I had another date, but I told a little white lie. And he told me later if I had said no the second time, that would have been the end of the affair. So I'm kind of glad I did that bad thing. But anyway, he was a joy to be with. We had good times. We raised the boys. It was not always easy, but he was very even-tempered, very substantial, very bright, and we had a happy, happy marriage raising our family together.
40 years and he passes. How did you get over that, Mary Lou?
Well, it wasn't easy, Jack, but I don't know. I just had to adapt, like I adapt to so many, many things in my life. I had such wonderful friends helping me through. I'll never forget it. And I think Jack's death and Frank's death both taught me so much about the beauty of friendship and the help of the good Lord, because I could never have done it without all of that.
Frank Murphy had a lot of friends, one of which was a man named Walt Connolly. And then you met Walt Connolly after Frank's passing. What happened?
Actually, I had heard about Walt at one time before I met him. Frank had been in the same men's club with him, and they played golf together. And Frank came home from the golf game, and he said, you know, I had the nicest partner today. His name was Walter Connolly. So I really met Walt by word before I met him.
And you end up marrying him.
Then I ended up marrying him. He had gone to U of D High as Frank had, and also Georgetown University. And we did meet, and I married Walt very happily.
And you had 23 years of a great marriage with Walt Connolly, who had 5 children as well?
He had 4 boys and a girl, just as I did. So we had that in common right from the start.
Tell us about Walt Connolly.
I was blessed with a wonderful person in my life. He was called, everybody called him the consummate gentleman. He always looked so wonderful, always the sport coat and tie. I laughed. I said, Walt would almost wear the tie to bed. He was such a gentleman and very, very a beautiful man. He had a wonderful philosophy of life. He had a good sense of humor, maybe not quite as outgoing as Frank, but all the good stuff. And again, we got along so beautifully. He was kind. He was so good to my mother. He was just a wonderful man, and he loved his family, and he loved his faith. And I couldn't have been more fortunate. I think his wife and my Frank got us together somehow.
And he passed in 2012. And I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Mary Lou Connolly, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.